and you are listening to KTOO in Juneau. Sunday is the last day to register to vote or update your mailing address for Juneau's 2025 municipal election. This year's election features three ballot propositions, three open assembly seats, and three open school board seats. Ballots will be mailed to voters on September 19th, and in-person voting centers will open on September 22nd. The last day to vote is October 7th. Final election results will be shared later that month. Go to juneau.org/clerk/elections for more information. And in Ketchikan, one person is dead after a car went over the guardrail into Ketchikan Creek Thursday. The car struck a pedestrian, broke through the wooden fence, and landed in the creek. The pedestrian was pronounced dead. Officials identified the victim as a 57-year-old woman from Auburn, Indiana. Three other people, including the driver, were transported to the island's hospital. One remains in critical condition. And the search for a permanent chancellor at the University of Alaska Fairbanks has officially begun. University of Alaska President Pat Pitney announced Thursday that applications for, quote, for the position are now open. In a press release, Pitney said she is looking forward to, quote, selecting a dedicated visionary leader who will guide this institution well into the future, end quote. According to a search timeline, a committee will start reviewing applications in late October, and the university is planning to announce the next chancellor in March. The successful candidate will serve as the chief executive at the UA System's flagship research institution. Whoever is chosen will succeed former Chancellor Dan White, who retired from the role this summer after 8 years. A gold exploration project at Coeur, Alaska's Kensington Mine, north of Juneau, has revealed thousands more ounces of precious metals. The high-grade gold deposits will extend the mine's life through 2029. Steve Ball is the general manager at Kensington. He says his staff spent a few years and nearly $90 million drilling to discover more gold. Now, those efforts have paid off.
We increased our reserves from a low point of 261,000 ounces at the end of year 2022 to 501,000 ounces at the end of year 2024.
Ball says those new reserves represent around 5 years of mine life. A spokesperson for the Juneau Economic Development Council says this is good news for workers here, since the mining industry is one of the community's largest private employers and provides some of the highest paying jobs. Kensington employs around 380 people, and roughly 40% of them live in Southeast. It's also the second largest taxpayer in Juneau after Hecla Greens Creek Mine. Kensington Mine is located about 45 miles northwest of Juneau in the Berners Bay Mining District. It's owned by Coeur, a multinational company based in Chicago, Illinois, which began operating in 2010. The mine has raised environmental concerns. Last year, it reported a tailings spill. Separately, it was potentially responsible for a fish die-off downstream. In 2019, the Environmental Protection Agency fined Coeur for more than $500,000 for multiple environmental violations. The price of gold is on the rise. As of today, it's roughly $3,600 per ounce. Deantha Skabinski is the executive director at the Alaska Miners Association. She says the positive trend makes Alaska a more attractive place to drill, given how expensive it is to establish gold mines here.
That certainly incentivizes companies to do that exploration in Alaska to hopefully bring more mines online. So it really is a positive driver in terms of growing our industry here.
Ball says that Kensington staff have already started more exploratory drilling with the hopes of extending the mine's life even further. And after 8 days of deliberation, the jury in a sexual assault trial against a former Juneau chiropractor returned a verdict of not guilty on 2 counts and a hung jury on 12 others on Thursday. 12 former patients accused Jeffrey Foltz of sexual assault under the guise of medical care. They say the incidents took place during medical appointments between 2014 and 2020 while he was employed at Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium in Juneau. Foltz's defense argued that he was offering legitimate medical care to these patients. His attorney said he was not available for comment on Thursday afternoon. Jamie Ann Hasselquist is one of more than a dozen women who filed charges against Foltz. He was acquitted of the charges associated with her complaints, and she won't be able to refile them.
I thought that he was going to go in handcuffs after this whole time, you know, 4 years or so.
Jurors were unable to return a unanimous verdict on the 12 other counts. Those charges resulted in a mistrial. That means those charges, along with two that were declared mistrial during proceedings, can be retried if the state chooses to do so. Christina Love reported Fultz to Juneau police in 2021. At the courthouse Thursday, she said Fultz can leave Juneau, but she and other women are left without justice.
He gets to hop on a plane, and there are 12 victims in this case that are left here holding it. That is absolutely earth-shattering that we're going to have to do this all over again. Like, I can't even comprehend it.
Love says she's plans to move forward with her charges.
As long as he's out walking, we're going to keep trying to make sure that he's never able to do this to anyone ever again, ever.
And Hasselquist says she plans to support the women who plan to testify again. The trial lasted 6 weeks. A status hearing to decide what will happen next for the mistrial charges is scheduled for September 23rd at 10 a.m. And amidst prevalent food insecurity in Southeast Alaska, two Sitka community gardens have received grant funding to support their development. KCAW's Ryan Cotter reports that organizers hope more Sitkins can be able to seek food independence.
With the sun shining and no-see-ums buzzing around, excavation contractor Troy Bain is cutting out pieces of tarp over a patch of muskeg.
This is a barrier to keep the rock from sinking into the muskeg. It just adds stability to the rock.
Bain has been hired by Sitka Community Garden for the past few weeks to prepare the land for the next phase of construction. One of the main things he is working on today is building a layer of gravel that will serve as an area for street parking, as mandated by the city government.
So this will all be gravel for the time being, then possibly a concrete slab underneath the shed roof. This will be the access from the parking lot to the garden beds right through here. We'll have a dump truck here in a minute, and you can see the process of actually putting the rock on the fabric.
That'd be cool, yeah. This construction is being funded by a $345,000 grant awarded to the community garden by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. Joel Hansen, the project manager for the community garden, is assisting Bain in preparing the land for excavation. He found out the week prior that he won the grant he applied for. He says he's been collaborating with Transition Sitka and the Sitka Local Food Network on this project for the past 2 years.
It's pretty exciting. I didn't think we'd get this far along. There's still a lot of work to do, but at least some number of members will be able to start growing gardens in their rented plots next year.
Meanwhile, on the other side of the Indian River, a 40,000 square foot area of muskeg has recently been approved to be the home of a new community garden in Sitka.
We're at the very end of Rudolph Walton, and the garden will be off to the right here, off the little cul-de-sac.
That's Jeff Fellpouch, the Resource Protection Department Director for the Sitka Tribe of Alaska. The organization recently won a $385,000 grant from the Native American Agricultural Fund to develop a community garden to support their current traditional foods program, as well as to provide tribal members with accessible food, even potentially encouraging them to grow their own, much to the delight of Fellpouch.
I'm jazzed. As soon as we got the funding, you know, it was like my mind started racing about all the things we need to do.
The Native American Agricultural Fund previously funded a collaboration with the U.S. Forest Service in developing raised beds for Tlingit potatoes and 100 raspberry plants, which inspired the development of a community garden. The tribe is partnering with the Baranof Island Housing Authority, known as BIHA for short, who helped them scout and finalize the plot of land the garden will eventually be built on. The two organizations found themselves working with the same people.
BIHA plays into this a lot, too, because they have renters who don't have property, the ability to have gardens of their own. At the same time, a lot of their clients are tribal citizens, so we felt it was a good match there.
The grant will be used to fund garden development, as well as the salary of three Sitka tribe staff who will be supporting garden programming. As they begin executing this project, their staff have researched what other community gardens across Southeast Alaska have done. Joel Hansen from the current community garden also reached out to the tribe shortly after hearing of their grant. What both groups have in common is their resolute belief in the importance of community gardens given the current state of the economy.
I think home kitchen gardens are going to become more and more important to people in Sitka in order to get by with rising cost of prices and wages stagnating.
Additionally, BIHA Executive Director Cliff Richter argues that community gardens create an opportunity for residents to explore gardening when they wouldn't have the space to do it at their home.
When you're in apartment living or higher density, there's usually not a lot of room to do this sort of thing on your own property. And so this is going to provide an opportunity for people to spread out and do some things they may not be able to do and get creative with it too.
While there are still development logistics to work through, the Sitka Tribe of Alaska hopes to begin construction on their garden next spring. In Sitka, I'm Ryan Cotter.
And you're listening to KTOO News. This is Alex Solomon. You can find more local, state, and regional news on our website at ktoo.org. Today it is 62 degrees and mostly sunny downtown. Tonight there will be a little bit of drizzle, and Saturday and Sunday are expected to be partly sunny with a chance of rain in the evenings.
For NPR comes from this station and from Indeed, committed to giving job listings increased visibility with relevant candidates through its sponsored jobs.